This program is part of the Ulagal Radio Network. Ulagal Radio, going beyond the pew, proclaiming truth and encouraging the brethren.
Rise up, O men of God.
Welcome to A Few Good Men with your host, Rick Popejoy.
In part two of our series, What Leadership Values, we want to look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, Mark 8 and Luke 9 also record these particular words of Jesus. And there's a great deal of value in looking at not only those passages, but the context of those passages that we read in last week as we began this series of the value of the soul for leadership. Now, what value do we as leaders place upon the soul? Now, what we say is one thing, but our actions oftentimes say something different than our lips. All of us would say that the soul is priceless if we're just talking about it. But out in life, what value do we place upon the souls of men by the way that we live, by the way that we talk to one another, by the way our actions, do they speak often louder than our words? Do we show by our actions that we love the world or that we love God? There are some who act as if their souls were worth very little, or they are careless and indifferent about the welfare of their soul. They handle their money and other valuable things with great care and caution, but they seem to give very little thought to their soul's welfare. If you're a parent or even a grandparent, what value do you place upon your child and your grandchild's soul? What is it really worth to you? Now, you may say that it's worth years of time and effort and money in educating that which will make them successful in life. Oh, that may be very well and very true. But what if they gain the whole world and lose what is most valuable to them? How much money and time are you spending? How much effort and energy are you putting forth to save the soul of your child? Leadership. You have the responsibility, and one day, according to Hebrews chapter 13, you're going to give an account for the souls that are invested in your care. The great shepherd, 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, has placed them in your responsibility. And the Bible says in Hebrews that they must give an account. That is, the shepherds must give an account. And that they should do it with joy. But we're going to give an account one day for the souls that have been placed within our care. So the question is, what value do I place upon the soul? Last week we considered what the soul was and why it was so valuable and the investment that God placed in that. But today I want to contrast that with the world itself. You see, there are a lot of myths that are in this world. And one of those myths is in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. One of the great myths of the world and of leadership oftentimes is that the world is very important. Now, what is meant by And what is the difference between when he says the world and all of the things that are in the world? This world, the material universe, God's beautiful creation, that which testifies to us of God himself, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. But he says, not only do I want you to love this, I don't want you to be emotionally attached to this world above the next world. But why not love the world? Well, this world is not my home. My citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3, 18 through 21. So what about the things that are in the world? That is this system that is rebelling against God, a system that exalts man, a system that creates categories of men that devalue them. Satan is a perverter of the things of God. He's never created anything in his life. He simply perverts the things of God. Let me just give you a couple of quick examples. He changes even that which is good for its evil use, Isaiah 5 and verse number 20. He changed the glory of an incorruptible God into the worship of man and four-footed creatures and the beast of the field, Romans 1, 22 and 23. He changed the truth of God into a lie, Romans 1, 25. He changed the natural into that which is against nature, Romans 1, verses 26 and 27. Now, that's worldliness, you see. That's what John is talking about when he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Worldliness is an attitude of mind and heart. It is a longing for and a living after the flesh. It is being disposed with the things that pertain to the temporary world, not regarding the spiritual or religious realm, but secular. Paul said to the Corinthians, I had to speak unto you as carnal and not as unto spiritual. Our forefathers, like us, they struggled with living in a world of sin without being a part of that world. And you and I must do the same. But how to overcome? Now, let me give you a couple of quick suggestions here on spend much time in prayer. As a leader, we should, as James, we should have knees like camels. They should be calloused over because of the much time in prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We should spend more time in Bible study and meditation, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Philippians 4 and verse number 8. Meditating, our mind should be exhausted with the principles of God's Word. We should spend more time with spiritually minded people, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And we should devote our lives to diligently work in the Master's service, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. We should we've got, as leaders, we've got to smell like sheep. So it is important that we understand that there are people out there that believe this world is the most important thing. But I want you to notice that some people even have the ideal that temptation is harmless. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Notice these three categories that he's talking about. You know, there are people who treat things that are dangerous as if they are not dangerous at all. There are many people who have handled a gun as if it is not a dangerous tool, and they have ended up shooting someone that they really cared for. It is a dangerous tool. And the Word of God, living in this world and being a New Testament Christian, those are dangerous things. We need to make sure that we treat them with their proper respect. Listen, all that is in the world is dangerous. The lust of the flesh, pleasure, what feels good, what is sensual in nature, he says, the lust of the eyes, what looks good, what is appealing to me, can be very burdensome with the cares of this world. And then the pride of life, what makes me look good, trusting in myself, and even self-promotion is a part of that. Such honor and power can never bring satisfaction, my friends, for there is always someone out there that is on a little higher pedestal, has a little bit more power, has a little bit more influence than we do. And by the way, gaining everything isn't enough. Ask Alexander the Great, who was not satisfied after he had conquered the entirety of the world. Ask Solomon as he searched for happiness through this route. But after he had tried all of the devices of the world, he came up with Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, that he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. You see, nothing else could properly satisfy in those items. And so I want you to think about these myths that are in the world and contrast that with the value that we should have upon the soul. Leadership properly values the soul over the world. My friends, I want you to be that leader that God wants you to be. And we hope that these podcasts will help you and motivate you and strengthen you to do just that. God bless and have a wonderful day.